Okay, so we only have a few minutes before it's time to daven Maariv and to get something to eat. Let's just be Ma'ir, a number of fascinating inyanim, and we'll discuss it after. So, look. The sugya b'chlal of Arachan is an extremely strange sugya, because we have two very different halachas, which the Masechet constantly contrasts one with the other. One is the dinim of Domim, and one is the dinim of Arachan. Domim is what we always deal with throughout the Torah. Domim is what we take to be actual values, right? It's the value that's defined by market forces. And the way that we estimate the value in terms of dummy, whether it's in terms of nezikin, whether it's in terms of nedorim, nedorim hekdesh, or whatever it is, all of those things go according to the actual value that the market will bear. And that's the thing that the person's going to have to pay, whether it's in terms of neder, it's in terms of nezik that he caused. We never find that the Torah allows us in those areas to determine the value in any other way. In this Masechet, besides those halachas of Dami, which we talk about in terms of the Nidorim for Dami, we have this new idea. This is a new idea in which somehow or other the Torah has given an assigned value. An assigned value that has nothing to do with market forces whatsoever. As a matter of fact, the Mishnah goes out of its way, getting its whole parak on this. Makes no difference what the market value is. Therefore, comparing inyanim of arachin to inyanim of damim can be both a chomer and a kula. You may end up paying immensely more than you would otherwise have paid. And maybe you're paying the arachin for mukashrin, that wouldn't be worth anything. Or you may end up paying tremendously less. Maybe you have an eved that's not good margolias, and so on. The same thing is true. The only other place where it's true, mamish, as it is with domim and arachin, is the difference between stei achuza and stei mikne. Over there we have the same halach. When it comes to stei achuza, the Torah defines a value which has nothing to do with the field's actual market value. Just the same way that a person's erech is based on his age and his sex and nothing else, so too is the value of the stei achuza based on nothing but its size and the number of years that are left. And its size is determined purely by its ability to take on a chomer zera saorin, and that's it. Makes no difference whether it's going to put out a fantastic amount of field of tua, won't put out Kutfu at all. As long as it's vaguely suitable for agriculture, that's sufficient. We have other sugyas that are related. And in fact, the Mishnah goes and enumerates them and points out in all of them, you have l'kula v'l'chumra. Because you could have shloshim shel evet, which shloshim shel evet is a defined value. But that's not the same as the inyanim of erechin, which moves up and down according to the unit. Over here, we're talking about a kanas. I understand that those in Yanim of kanas are defined, and they're defined in a strange way because they have to do with human beings. So if you're talking about Shloshim Shalevet, if you're talking about the Shidri Chamishim of Einasum Efater, if you're talking about the May of Meitzi Shemra, these have to do with human beings. Nonetheless, it makes no difference the godless of that human being, the value of that human being, the market value of that Evet, if he is an Evet, that's Nekev Margolias. Or if he's literally, he's on his dying legs here, makes no difference what his domim is, it makes a difference what the Torah defined the value. It's like a completely different shadow world of the world that we're used to. It's a violation in a sense of every meaning that we generally look at in terms of domim. But what's fascinating is that the word domim itself comes from the word domim. In other words, the idea of damim is something that is an analog to something. So when we're analyzing its market value, so that's clearly true by nezikin. It's always like that. Because we cannot actually give you what you lost. We're going to give you an analog to what you lost. Because of that, we need a special pasuk the difference between Mechaya Karna and not Mechaya Karna. Who cares if it's Mechaya Karna? The loss, as Tosva says, it's a crazy concept. The loss is the same. So why in the world do we care if it's Mechaya Karna or not? Whatever you lost, we'll pay you, right? Wrong. Because we're not really able to pay you for a loss. Your loss consists of a thing, not of money. So what it is that we do is we take something domed, which we arbitrarily, in the sense of, it's vaguely, it's not what I had, it's not what I wanted, but it's what the insurance company will pay you. Great. I mean, as anybody knows, dealing with insurance companies, that doesn't do me much good, right? But it's done. So, okay, it's the closest that we can get. What can we do? We can't bring you back your loss. You're going to talk about the embarrassment that you caused somebody. Is you're going to pay money? Exactly. So all of these things are domim beyond. And we talk about the getter of a domé, we would think that on the contrary, those market forces, that's the real thing, and the element of erichin are just, I don't know, it's some arbitrary kind of inyan. Instead, it appears that the Torah views there's something is an absolute about erichin and something that is completely local and analogous to the idea of domé, the opposite of what we would think. Now, what's fascinating about this Masechet is that the entire Masechet appears in a tiny place in the Torah. And usually Masechet is all kinds of inyanim, where you bring psukim from all over. Here, we have two places in the Torah, two very deeply interrelated places, where we select everything in this Masechet, Bahar and Bechukosa. Bechukosa is essentially the bris of Bahar. And we ought to just move on one to the next, which in a sense we do. Because throughout the entire Brachos and Kolos of Bechukosai, we're talking about whether now the Oretz will get a chance to be Shavas HaShavsaseha, Kol Yimei HaShama, all the days that you didn't do what it was you were supposed to do in terms of Shemitah V'Yeva. And it's clear that we have these seven Sheva Chatoim, Sheva Po'omim, as Rashi points out, which is a direct analog to the 7 years, seven times of the Shemitah and Yom Tov cycle. Those two things are deeply interrelated. Yet, for some reason, the Torah splits halachas between those two parts. At the end of the sugya of Bahar come all of the issues that have to do with things that have to do with geula in terms of an odai. Things that have to do with Mechira, in terms of somebody who is dealing with a stay mikna, or who was mocher on a secular level, his field, and his rights to get it back, and so on and so forth. All of this appears there in the context of this geula, and these dirim are indeed, many of them are spoken about over here, and one of the key words throughout is kiyamuch. Kiyamuch, he doesn't have enough money, he'll sell himself. And the Gemara goes through a beautiful analysis of the entire parsha, because what it does is it traces each step as nogea the next step. So somehow or other, Shemitah V'Yeva is seen as being nogea every last step of what happens over here. So first he's going to have to sell, he's going to sell his field. And then he's going to sell, if he doesn't do teshuva, from here we learn the concept that if a person doesn't pay attention to the teshuva, then it becomes heter for him. He's never going to be able to be miser unless bal yaday, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be ma'er him, the teshuva. Fine. He won't wake up. Lo bal yaday. Then he's going to end up selling his, and then he's going to end up selling his daughter. Daughter doesn't say that. Yeah, but it says he'll borrow on ribbis. And he'd certainly rather sell his daughter than borrow his ribbis, because he can always buy his daughter back. But once he borrows on ribbis, he can't bring anything back, because the bank just keeps upping it. Very cute Gemara. Then he'll end up selling himself. I'll sell himself to a Jew. But then that won't be enough. Then he'll have to sell himself to a Ger Teisha. Then it won't be the Ger Teisha. Then it'll be Mishpachas Ger. He's a goy. Not enough that he ends up in the hands of a Mishpachas Ger, he's going to end up in a Ger Mishpachas Ger. That somebody becomes an Evet to the church, directly. So now he's sitting there, sweeping in front of Avodah Zarah. All of this, why? Not because he didn't keep Shemitah V'Yeva, he planted Chas V'Shalom. He sold things that he wasn't supposed to sell, because the Torah says lo ochla, midash lo ochla, velo schora, and he used it for schora. And Tosfos says, how do we know that's what it's talking about? Maybe it's talking about somebody who, in fact, was actually Bechal Shmita. No. Because what's the Mita Keneged Mita? Obviously, if the, all of these stories are, he's going to have to sell himself. Sell is out. Sell is out. The Mita Keneged Mita could only be that he was selling Shmita. If you want to sell Perish Shmita, this is what happens to him. Fine. Then, we have the entire rest of the Sugya, which is the Arach in the main Sugya of Arach and the main Sugya of Steachuza and all of the special dinim of Steachuza and again the dinim of Yitzia, the Yoivel, it's nobody was fated and what's the Aloka, that it's Yotzel Kayanim v'chulu v'chulu. That appears in B'chukosa. But it doesn't appear in B'chukosa. By the way, I wanted to say the Ki Yamuch, each one of those Yamuch, we end up coming out with this brand new Aloka of Ki Yamuch in Erech. Which is unheard of anywhere else, and which becomes the basis throughout the world of a concept called bankruptcy. The only place that it appears is in the Torah. There's two things that appear in the Torah here that have become absolute across the globe. One is the concept of the 49-year lease, which is based on Yoivo, 49 years, and then it's Yetzi B'Yoivo. The other is the concept of bankruptcy. Where does bankruptcy come from that a person is able to declare, this is all that I can afford, and this is all that he can afford, and that's it. He pays what he can afford, now he starts over again. Ki yomuch imochu mi'erkechem. So if a person cannot afford the erechin, then the erechin is adjusted to him. That's never true of dummy. So surprisingly, all of the dinim of Ki Yamuch, which appear in Bahar, only end up having an application in B'chukosai, in Micha, where the adjustment of the Erechim, it comes out, there's really no such thing in the Torah as bankruptcy, except in this magical area that doesn't exist outside of the Torah, right? Because you'll always retain your chiyuvim to pay up if you're talking about domim. You owe somebody money, you don't get out of paying it up because you decide that you're bankrupt. No such concept. So then we move into B'chukosai. But listen to how we move into B'chukosai. B'chukosai ends twice. And it ends dramatically. After telling me all of the brachos and the klolos, so it says in B'chukosai, Ela achukim v'hamishpatim v'hatorot asher natan adunoi beino uvein b'nei Yisrael v'har Sinai b'yad Moshe. Sounds like a great ending to Sefer Vayikra. All of a sudden, all of a sudden, compared the dinim of Erechin. After all of the dinim of Erechin and one other set of dinim, Tmura. Erechin and Tmura, Mesechet Erechin and Mesechet Tmura, suddenly appear here. Lo yachlifenu, lo yimiroto, tov bara, rabatov, repeated again from Meiser, from where we learn out that only things that Meiser is chal on, as opposed to, let's say, kachibet kabayis, it's a number of things that we learn out, which we haven't reached yet. And then it ends again. But instead of saying, Ela hachukim ha-mishpatim va-torot, it says, Ela ha-mitzvot, asher tzivah, dunei, Moshe, b'nei Yisrael, Bahar Sinai, now you can finally say Chazak, Chazak, we need Chazak. But until then, we're stuck between two endings, and between those two endings, we end up learning the entire issues of Erechim and Tumura. A very strange kind of situation, you must admit, that we have it split between two different parishes, which are themselves Gidorim of the same issue. And then we have the specific dinim that have to do with the kochim element only after the bris in B'chukosai and the brachos for klolos. One tremendous hint as to why this might be the case is because it says by Erechin a very unusual lashon. Erechecha nifashot. The Gemara learns out tremendous things from Erechecha nifashot, from very basic things, which is the din of nidon bichvodo, so that anything that the nefesh is tliyabo is a chiyav of arachin, even though it isn't the entire body. And all kinds of other issues that distinguish arachin from dami. The bris in bichukotai is the only place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about his nefesh. And as the Ramban points out, at the end of the brachas, at the beginning, there's the most astonishing statement, which after I'll give you all of the brachas in the entire world, the last, the most powerful bracha is V'lo tig'al nafshi et. The curse in the end comes out to be the same idea of if you will not follow the mitzvahs, and your own geula, geilut nefesh of the mitzvah satera, that and only that leads into the element of erkecha nefashes specifically, which is the marker of all of the midrashim, how erechim relates specifically to nefesh, mali ane erechem, geilui kraftim, many inyanim like that. That, I believe, is a hint, which should give us something to think about after we dive mire. And after we have a chance to break our fast. So what happens over here in Parshas Pinchas is that we have a new count. And this new count is actually, the simple meaning of this is the way that Rashi brings it, is that the same way that the Klal Yisrael was given by number to Moshe Rabbeinu and by Yetzias Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving them back before he leaves. And this is now his count, which is the equivalent to that count. The deeper insight into that is that the truth is that the Sefer get finished. The Sefer of Havdalah is basically contrasting two different counts. It's a Havdalah of the Yotzei Mitzrayim. One is the count of the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and the other one is the count of the Nichlasim Loretz. It stresses over here that in that count, this is a pasuk, in that count, there was no one whatsoever that had been in the original count of Moshe Rabbeinu with Aaron HaKohen, except for two individuals, Yoshua ben Nun and Kalev ben Yefuna. The second count, which was Moshe Rabbeinu with Elazar HaKohen, represents the Nichnosim to Eretz Yisrael. The fact that Chazal see this Sefer as being the Sefer of Havdalah, which is Keneged Vayavdei Levayim ben Ha'or ben HaChoshech, which is Keneged the Havdalah between those who are Yotzim Eretz Mitzrayim and those who are the Nichlasim Eretz Yisrael. This count is the actual taking those two bodies and making them two completely different realities. That means that what it is that Pinchas ultimately achieves, being as he's the trigger now of that count, and he is the one that enables that count to be made in such a way that it shifts a card notice, that the only issue that happened with Pinchas over here was that the Torah had to be Miyachis Pinchas, correct? Pinchas ben Aharon, ben Elazar, ben Aharon HaKohen, Shivat Hamati. And as Rashi says, again, simple meaning is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to put his gushpanka on it. I think this was a good thing to do. The deeper understanding, as Chazal explained to us, is that everybody was being mevaze Pinchas because of the fact that he was not miyuchas. So Haraitem ben Putize, he comes from Yisrael, he's the wrong guy for the job, even if he's right, he's wrong. Somebody like that shouldn't put himself out to be the kanoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't view him as being mibnei Yisrael, I view him as being the ben of Aaron HaKohen, to the point that the Zohar asks even why he even mentions Elazar. Because apparently, in terms of his nefesh, he was zeichet to be directly ben Aaron, ben meshiv chema. But that means that the understanding of the parsha as a whole, Rashi even uses the word b'mokom sheyiches hatzadik v'shevach yiches ata rosh alignai, and the same thing is done with Cosby. Everybody is given their name, but not simply their name, but their yichusim in terms of where they come from. The parsha as a whole is a parsha not of numbers as much as of yichus, because this is the parsha which we have the yud and the he of the shem, and that's the shiftei ka, the shei osias hashem, edus li Yisrael, in which they bring their sifrei yuchasim and are now miyuchasim. The reason that this has everything to do with Pinchas is because, as Chazal explained, the whole attempt of Bilam with his Eitzah of the Bnei Smidyan and Bnei Smeyav was the attempt to undermine the nature of Yichus.
And if you take a look at the din of Kanoim Pegimbo, Kanoim Pegimbo, people think has to do with some type of, what do they call it, vigilantes. Vigilantes on moral behavior, right? But the truth is, it has absolutely nothing to do with moral behavior. People think that the issue of yours is a sexual morality issue, but it obviously isn't. Because if someone were doing a rather serious avera, avarias, there's no din of kanayim pagan by it. If Pinchas had been sleeping with his mother, he'd been sleeping with his sister, he'd been sleeping with an animal, whatever, there would have been no kanayim pagan. What? In the Zimri, sorry. Right? There would have been no din of kanayim pagan by it. So what that means is that the entire issue of the Kanoim Pergimboi was the inappropriateness of the destruction of the Yichud of Yisrael in terms of the relationship with Kozbi Batzur, and only that. Which means that in order to be able to assert that I have an intense reaction against the mixing of Klal Yisrael's Kedusha with the Umis HaElam, kind of which is the Zohar puts it even more graphically, a bris of Ben Yisrael does not belong in the body of an Akum. It's a disgusting breakdown in the Yichud of what makes Yisrael Kodesh. And his claiming such a thing, and his not himself being able to trace his own Yichud properly, everybody was being mabatsa him. What kind of ridiculous thing is that? It's probably just jealousy. Kina, not Kanoz. Comes along HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say that no, on the contrary, it was precisely B'Kanoet Kinasi, as Rashi says, this is what I should have been doing. I could do it for myself. And in establishing the Yichud of Yisrael's Yichusim, he basically addresses now the first step in what it was that the parsha is about, because the parshas, again, as Rashi brings, it's all simple pshatim. So as Rashi brings, the Umay Sa'ilam were mevazim as Yisrael. The Umay Sa'ilam were saying, what do they think, that the mitzvim were only shalit agufam and were not shalit on the shoteim, so that they should think that their yichus is correct yichus and that they really are the children of who they believe they are? It's ridiculous. Comes along Edus Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is made on all of these yichusim. That means that what it was that Pinchas himself was personally Isaacan is exactly what the Parsha as a whole is being personally Isaacan, so to speak, for the Ummah as a whole. And that means that the tafkid of what is established over here is the yichud of Yisrael. And why it was so important for Bilam to be able to destroy that is because that was the entire point. Remember that Bilam is the response to Moshe Rabbeinu's request, "V'niflinu ani v'abcha mikol ha'am asher apnei adama." So that means "Hein am levadad yishkon," which needed to be stated by Bilam. There needed to be an understanding. "B'me yivadai for kiniflinu?" How would it be known? How would it be known that we are unique? So in other words, what that means is it's not sufficient that there has been some type of unique identity that's achieved by Yisrael, but it also needs to be something that can be seen in contrast to the Ummah Sa'ilam, which made it necessary for Bilam to be made on it. That's the Matoivu Alecha Yaakov, and that's the Heinam Levadad Yishkon, and that was his entire personal zilzal about the nature of the pool of genes and the mixing of genes and the Mimisparo Vayisrael. It's ridiculous. The whole thing is an absurd way to assert Yichusin when everything is just really, it's a toss of a die. And instead, what he ends up recognizing is the unique Kedusha of Yisrael, which means that he, Pinchas himself, was the one that establishes and all of Havdolah, which was necessary between the Yotzei Mitzrayim and now, can only be achieved through that development of an understanding of identity. And what's amazing is that Chazal say that the first breakdown in the world in terms of Havdalah, before there was Havdalah, the first breakdown took place with Bichi. Bichi, crying. What was the crying, the initial crying? So the Midrash says the initial crying was the breakdown when HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the Mayim El-Yonim min HaMayim HaTachtonim. And in the same way that that was the beginning of breakdown, so too says the Midrash that when we come back and the Geula will take place, it has to be B'chi Yavo. So the Tikkun, to be torn apart, has to be that same B'chi, which of course starts here with Vehima Bochim and Pinchas' achievement of a solution to that Bechiyah, which I'll discuss and explain in a moment. And the Rabbi Tanchuma says it's even more than that, because it says the Kolos Mayim Rabbi Madirim, and that Kolos is always a reference to crying. What's our proof? Varaya, it says, Kol Barama Nishma, Nihi Bechi Tamurim. So that means that the coming together of the Geula in the end, which of course is also Pinchas, because he's the one that becomes Eliyahu, as it says here in the beginning with the Targum, that is done through the same achievement of Bechi, which he indeed is involved in here. And that becomes Shalom, Brisi Shalom. And that, fascinatingly enough, that Bechi is somehow the entire goal of Pinchas in the end. How do I know? Because remember, Pinchas actually continues the work of Bilam, in a sense. Ami zechorna maya atz. What is the maya atz? Balak, Bilam. What is that? It was the fact that he wanted to destroy you, and I was so incredibly committed to you. Laman das tzidkeis Hashem is only that law, as the Gemara said, min hashitim ala Gilgal, that during that entire period from Shittim to Gilgal, I was very careful about how I treated you, and there was no chas in the world, right? There was no rega. Min Hashittim ala Gilgal is the first half of an equation, because after we come into Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vayal malach elohim min ha-Gilgal ela bochim. So we go back to Bechiah. Who is the bochim? Who is the malach elohim? It's Pinchas. Why was Pinchas coming up? Because of the fact that they had made a bris with the Goyim. Bris with Goyim. Comes Pinchas back up, and he gets everyone to cry, to recognize that this is a destruction of the whole meaning of Yerushas Haaretz. Because what it was that he was doing, and the way that he was able to initially achieve this minion of those who would be Nichlasim La'aretz, in terms of the Yichusim and undoing the damage of Bilam, was specifically through Bochim. The only way to achieve it again was to get, it says they called the place Bochim because everybody sat and recognized what they're lacking. Over here, the Bochim here is the inability to respond to what was going on with the story of Zimri and Kozbi Pastor, which means that there was something lacking in an achievement of what it is that we essentially are. Because of that, he becomes the ultimate freelance Kohen. The tafkid of a Kohen, I forgot to press it. The tafkid of a Kohen is Avdolah. That's all the things that were Mesukan after Yom HaShemini is Avdolah, one issue of Avdolah after another. So what it is that he does is the nature of Geula through creating the kuhuna by determining what it means to be a mamleches kayanim, and those are the minyan of the Oisiyas Hashem. Those Oisiyas Hashem essentially are the same Oisiyas of the Ko Hashem Tzur Olami. The centrality of that achievement in terms of Yerusha becomes very clear over here. And that is because the Yerusha of Yisrael is the essence of what Eretz Yisrael is. It's not a way that we get Eretz Yisrael. That's a very, very different kind of thing. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mavtiach Avram Avinu, that I'm giving you this land, Lirishta, and Avram Avinu's question was, B'mayda ki irashena. The question was never, how do I know we get Eretz Yisrael? The question was always, how, and as Rashi explained, Be'ez Eschus, based on the Gemara, Be'ez Eschus. Who said it would be Eschus? What is that talking about? It seems like such an absurd kind of pshat. Then to explain, what does it have to do with anything? It's exactly what's going on here for an amazing reason. The amazing reason is that normally a Yerusha means that somebody got it and passed it on to their children. Nobody ever got Eretz Yisrael. That's the unbelievable thing. The only people that ever received Eretz Yisrael received it from Yerusha. Because over here, the Meitim have to be Yoreshet HaChayim. So the two Minyanim work in such a way that the ones who are Nechdasim are actually the Yorshim and not the ones that are Zeichim. Why? Because the Heftza of Eretz Yisrael, not the way to be Zeichet Eretz Yisrael, the Heftza of Eretz Yisrael is Yerusha. And that's what Avraham Avinu understood. The Heftza is Yerusha. Therefore, he has a problem. What is that problem? Because normally people take the nature of Yerusha to be something that happens to be coming your way. You know, rich uncle died, all of a sudden I'm a multimillionaire, I thought I'm a dime, you know? And that's the way people essentially look at Yerusha. All of the Yumei Se'elam, they're given their Yatzev Gvulot Amim L'Mispar B'nei Yisrael, everybody's got their little territory. Life settles down, people are developing the earth in different locations. These are the Iyei HaGoyim. Iyei HaGoyim is a very fundamental word in evolution. Islands. Islands develop these areas. These areas develop into different umes. And it's all, there never is Yerusha. There just is what is. Because this is where we settle. This is where we develop. This is where we grow. There's only one place where that's not true. Eretz Yisrael is given to Shem, and then K'tan takes it. So that Aknani Azba Aretz, when Avraham Avinu suddenly finds out, wait a minute. So is it supposed to be belonging to us or not supposed to be belonging to us? Has to go explain to Lot. No, we don't have any rights in it because Aknani Azba Aretz. But didn't he say it's supposed to be ours, but Yerusha? And I'm your heir? That means it's mine? Yeah, nobody's got it. How is that possible? Yerusha doesn't have, nobody has. Why would we have Dafka Eretz Yisrael be Eretz Kanan? So we have to work it out in such a way that we should get it away from Canaan. Why did it have to be that the rest of it should belong to the Rephaim? That Avraham Avinu should have to fight the Rephaim in the beginning and then come back over here with Sichon and Og, with the only ones that were left, Miyetar Rephaim, from that time? And that exactly should be the moment where Moshe Rabbeinu was Nichshal in the Dibur al Hasela because it was Ein Mishpat, and that was the Ein Mishpat that occurs over here, and therefore this Parsha. Moshe has been told, okay, now Alei al Har Avarim. Well, what the heck is the connection between all of these issues? So clearly, when we're talking about a Yerusha in terms of the Heftz of Eretz Yisrael, it is by definition the antithesis of arbitrary. It's going to have to be grown into with a darga of awareness of uniqueness that allows you to participate in a Yerusha of a different type, a Yerusha that was never owned by anyone. What does that mean, a Yerusha that isn't owned by anyone? Anybody who looks at the history of the world, Bichlal, the overall perspective, is what you're looking at in terms of Klal Yisrael's relationship to Eretz Yisrael, is this incredibly long-term process that never seems to come to an end. Going to Eretz Yisrael, you lose Eretz Yisrael, go back to Eretz Yisrael, first with Kibush, then with the Goyim, then without the Goyim, then with the fighting again. What the heck is going on? Dozens and dozens of Nechamas with the different Shvatim, with the different areas, with the Yehuma breaking up, with the different parts. And you have Evrei Yarden, and the question of at what point Shemitah and Yevlis or Negei, and all of these in Yonim. Because Kilo Vate Madata Elam Nucha, Melanachala, where was this supposed to be in Menucha Vanach? Why should there have to be a Menuch Vanachla? I understand everybody else manages to have a place. What do you mean, Kilo Bata Marat? It's been like 5,000 years. It's not enough. What do you mean, Lo Bata Ela Menucha Vanachla? So we're clearly talking about a project. We're not talking about Yerusha in the normal sense at all. It's an immense project. And the only project of any similar scope that exists in the world is the project of understanding ourselves. That's the project of science. That's the project of Torah, which is the same project, essentially. It's the only place where humanity has gotten together to listen. Whatever it costs, and whatever it takes. We cannot continue to live in this way without understanding everything that a child understands. That's what it means to be an intelligent species, no? So the only, and that's a project that has that type of scope, because you're looking back to where it all started. So you'll go back to the Big Bang if necessary. And you'll pay billions of dollars to get 1/1,000,000,000th of a second closer to the Big Bang. Literally. Billions of dollars. Because I need to understand that difference. So the only concept of that type of scope in which I understand that I've worked my whole life just to understand one snail. And this guy has worked his whole life just to understand one piece of music, you know? And I don't see anything wrong with that. So then that means that I have a sense of the undertaking, of what is involved of living, not as a person, living as a species. Living as a species means living as Adam. Adam's the name of a species, not the name of a person. So that means that in terms of being able to have a Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, the only Osios that can be made is the Yud and the Hey. Because the Yud and the Hey is Kibbeka Hashem Tzur Olami, which is both Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Olam Hazeh Behei and Olam Haba Yud, which is the first time that we have a sense of, you want to know who we are? The Sfasemis points out, look at the very Lush. Take a look at each one of the families. Chanoch, Mishpachat HaChanochi. What does that mean? Forget about what it's doing about the other situation, but what does it mean to say such thing? It doesn't even mean anything. Well, if it's Chanoch, obviously, Mishpachat HaChanochi. So there's only one thing that it can mean. It has to mean that there is a conceptual Mishpachat HaChanochi of which the current Mishpachat Chanoch is whatever, some small manifestation. This Chanoch is, I made, really part of Mishpachat HaChanochi. So whatever the Mishpachot Avotam have to do, and whatever the Shivin Nafesh have to do, whatever the development of Yisrael have to do with some type of project that extends far beyond just the scope of time that human beings are used to dealing with. That's what we're talking about, our Eretz Hashem. And anything less than that is not, what? I don't know what his Ish Israeli is. If it is, it is. You tell me. I have no idea. But that's the concept of what it is to be a Ben Yisrael. That is the Bishvil Yisrael. The Rashis of the Yud and the Hey, which is the Bishvil Yisrael, Shenikra Rashis, is exactly this. And what that means is that the only possible way of being Zeicha to that level of an Eretz Yisrael, which is Yerusha, is to develop an identity which is Yerusha. Because the meaning of Yerusha here does not mean inheritance. Yerusha means being part of that overall development from beginning to end. So it represents one thing. The Adam is that thing. So therefore, when we talk about the Sifrei Shalom Arishim with Dor Dor V'Dor Shav, and so on and so forth, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks of here to Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu asks for Ish with the Ruach, he has to be able to have Ruchot L'chol Basar. Who's going to be the guy that can speak to everybody? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, you think this is the first time I thought of this problem? You know, you want me to give you the book? I'll share it all with you so you can see Dor V'Dor Shav. This is a small moment of history. You think that the number of ruchas that are currently available and that he has to learn to deal with, that's something. You just wait and see, buddy. Because we're just getting started here. So that means that the two things are fundamentally interrelated. So that means that the struggle that we have over here, the Bama Eda that Avram Avinu was talking about, is basically, one is the Sfasenes, one first Minui, that was in terms of Minyan, in terms of Torah. In Torah, we know we have Shishim Ribu Oisias, but Torah, everybody has a Moker in Torah. This is the Minyan for Eretz Yisrael. Everybody has a chelek that is uniquely is and uniquely responsive to Eretz Yisrael. But in the end, as he says, it's going to be a struggle as all universes are by definition, based on the Sefer Yetzirah, a concept of time, a concept of space, a concept of consciousness. That's called Asham. Elam, Shana, Nefesh. You're going to have to be able all of those three things. The inyanim of the Musafim here is a completely new way of looking at Koranas. Remember that what Bilam was doing was utilizing the nature of the natural development of biology, as the Rambam points out, wherever you have a drive to, especially of a higher order, looking for some type of sucker, like a mammal. It's weak, needs a mother, needs time, it's sensual. Can't get along without that. You're always going to have drives towards Avodah Zarah. Those drives are going to lead you to seek connection to Korbanos. But the mukar of the Korbanos is the search on a very basic level. Sure, it looks like just a way to placate the gods and so on and so forth. But on a very primitive level, the deep connection that I feel with biology and the sense of the development that I sense of biology, any primitive human being notes immediately the similarities of himself to the animals around him, especially when he actually has to work and live from these animals, and understands that whatever drive and life force is involved in them, he wants to be associated with that force, and he wants that to be somehow connected to something higher. That's the initial primitive drives towards Avodah Zarah and towards defining things the way that we want to define them. What Bilam was doing is he simply took Shiv'at HaMizbechot, as we showed you pointing, HaMizbechot means you know God what I'm talking about, and I know what I'm talking about. There are seven stages. This becomes now the Sheva Midas in terms of Zer Anpin. As the Rishonim speak out, he knew exactly what he was doing. And there are seven stages in development. I'm going to do Keneged Kulam, Keneged Avram, Keneged Yitzchak, Keneged Yaakov, or the other Pshat. I'm going to go Keneged Avram. I'm going to go Keneged Adam, Rishon, and Chase, and Chanoch. And so I'll take all of those Karbonos, and I'll do all of that thing. All of a sudden, we discover a completely new, different type of Karbon. That's here. And these are Musafim that are linked to time. Up until this time, we never had a Karbon linked to time. We had a carbon that was quotidian, yes, because you do things every day, but that is not linked to time. Even the carbon tamid was a function of the mizbeach, was not a function of time. It's just that the mizbeach ran all day, so you had one in the morning and one in the evening. The idea of korbani lachmi li'ishai, I eat, b'moado, what's shaykh b'moado? That relates directly to the Moadim, to the point that Chazal bring out that from these Karbanos, which are for the first time, the nature of Musafim, we never had them before. Never knew such a thing exists. And because of this, Parshas Pinchas is the most read Parshas in all of the Chumash, right? Everybody knows Parshas Pinchas, because every single time there's any occasion in which you have to deal with the Musafim, you're reading Parshas Pinchas. Everybody knows. If you ask them where everything is, they don't know. But if they ask them where this is, the lady is today, they'll tell you, I know where that Torah is from. It's definitely where Parshas Pinchas. Where else could it be from? Because whatever's going to give the Mayed, the unique time, says the Medrash, that's the Pshat. Tzadik Eichel L'Sova Nafshar. That's the Pshat. You could bring all these Korbanos all the time. That's how you bring Korbanos. Tzadik Eichel L'Sova Nafshar means when something is needed, that's when you eat. When you don't need to eat, you don't eat. The Musafim are brought as needed. Karbonas are there for purpose. They're not there for placating me and for making things happy or anything else. They're there for the purpose for which they are designed. And therefore, it's exactly what I tell you. Do I trouble you a lot? You got to bring a lot of junk? No. Why? Because that's not what it's about. It's exactly the point. The first time that we see the actual to meet him are also being brought in that aspect, so that the time and the awareness, the meyadim, and the darga of korban, all becomes part of nefesh. Tzadik ochel is sova nafsha. That means that what really honestly makes sense for the first time is that if there is such a thing as a shaychus Eretz Yisrael, that is possible only when you're part of an immense overtime, over Maaseh Bereishis, part of the developing enterprise of the creation of Yisrael, Bishvil Yisrael Shenik Reishis, which is Kayach Maaseh Vigid Liyabai. Then you can have shaychus Eretz Yisrael. Without that, you have shaychus to some type of political entity or some type of religious entity, some kind of ideal. The ideals never once worked here, ever. And they still don't work. The more you bring in your ideals, the less shaychus to Yerushas Ha'aretz you have. The only amazing achievement of the modern age of Yerushas Ha'aretz is nobody had any ideals. Well, there were so many different small-minded ideas that they all just sort of wiped each other out. This one has this, this one has that. The underlying question of just getting along here and living and making it happen and somehow comes out to the point where the religion I don't believe in, the Zionism I don't believe in, the money I don't believe in, but I know that Klal Yisrael definitely lives on miracles, and this has got to work. How do you know that? I don't know, but even Ben-Gurion knew that. Why Ben-Gurion didn't believe in anything, but he believed in miracles. Again, because there's the same underlying recognition that whatever my identity is, the identity isn't defined by a set of laws. The identity isn't defined by a set of ideals. It's defined by something that just keeps changing, that keeps growing, keeps developing, and which I recognize there's nobody else on this planet that has any interest in. On the contrary, they hate it. They want to be left alone. We're the only people that don't want to be left alone. We dream about being left alone. But Lamaisa, in order for us to be us, it doesn't work. It's an amazing kind of thing. So that means that taking on the actual identity of Adam is the only way in which a child to be coming to Eretz Yisrael. And because of this, this development of nefesh, which is the chelak of the nefesh in Eretz Yisrael, but more importantly, it is to be what you are with the recognition that that isn't really about you. It's about the you that may exist over time, which is the reason that this parsha is insanely full of these crazy insights into the nature of changing nefesh, interchangeable nefesh. Again, this used to be all kinds of esoteric Hasidic jazz, right? And now, because of modern developments, it's extremely accessible to anybody. Because, I mean, little kids could talk about downloading memories and becoming and having a cyborg and so on and so forth. And that's it. But that's exactly the same Nakuda. The point is that the development over time of the issues that are defining a particular life form as an organism keep changing over time, become more and more sophisticated, more and more accessible, and actually end up working out in ways that could never have been worked out before. Just because of that, the Baalei Kabbalah point out that the Maisa of Zimri and Cosby, that Zimri was an amazing guy. He was trying to do everything right. And that's why everybody was so angry at Pinchas. It wasn't just because he was an idiot in terms of where he comes from. As far as they were concerned, Pinchas had just walked in to Ruth and Boaz making Mashiach and shoots them through the genitals. What are you, crazy? But that's how he saw what he was doing. Exactly the same thing. In the end, Cosby Bastur becomes, again, according to Arizal, becomes Ashes Tornistrophus. Shlumiel ben Tzri Shaddai, which is the real name of Zimri ben Salu, which means that he's the Nazi of Shevet Shimon, which we still celebrate because we keep his day of the Nazis. We haven't decided he's a jerk and a no good Nick, right? This guy ends up essentially becoming Rabbi Akiva, who indeed ends up marrying Asius Tornistrophus, exactly. But that's a lot later. And that's a lot more understandable. The 24,000 people that die end up becoming 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva that die. But over there, the issue becomes an issue that we can relate to. We understand what it is that the dying is about, how central it is to Kabbalah Satara, learning about it. It becomes the entire the entire period in which we prepare for Kabbalah Satorah, that understanding. But no, Slavchot will come along, and we don't understand. Slavchot sounds like a maniac. I mean, even with the explanation, he's going out to show the Kedusha of Shabbos and so on. But when we find out that Slavchot actually turns into Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi, who is walking down the street on Shabbos and sees a fence in his field that broke open, it was porutz. So he says, oh my gosh, I'm right after Shabbos, I'm going to have to stuff this up with wood. That is all crazy thinking about doing melach on Shabbos. I'm never going to be guided at parrots. So what happens? Slough, chud, one slough grows up there. So they start calling him slough chud. This is one slough. That was pronounced slough chud. I mean, when you start thinking about it, Shlumiel ben Tzuri Shaddai, Briti Shalom, Kozbi Bats Tzor, Tzoror Es HaMidyanim. I mean, come on, man. There's obviously something strange is going on, right? So as we understand, this is the only place we'll have a Targum telling me that the Briti Shalom, the Pinchas, is that he becomes Elio, that's going to be Bavasa, the Geula. Well, where is such things? Somebody becomes somebody else. So the idea that specifically, what is he, Isaac and Elio? What else is he asking? Being miyaches as Yisrael. Exactly. So that means that what it is that is being done when a person has a sense of what his identity is in terms of nefesh, as opposed to a local life in which whatever it is that he's doing now is all that it is. And the nature of his Yerusha is having a big enough estate so that his kids can manage to fly first class where they steal all his money and so on. Yeah, sorry, Rich, about that. But that type of Yerusha is not what the Yerusha that we're talking about is. And what that means is that the nature of the identity that we're talking about is the exact opposite of the entitlement, which is the essence of Yerusha generally. So people today, their entire vision of what it is that they have is essentially as a Yerusha, even if it isn't a Yerusha from parents and grandparents. They are the ones who are the inheritors of those who have managed to make the earth productive, and who have developed things to the point where you don't have to go hungry anymore. And they're the ones who have given us the kind of life in which if somebody doesn't give us exactly what we want, then that's the end of the world, and I'll write a letter about it and perhaps open up a Me Too thing or whatever. But I'll definitely create an entirely new morality and a whole new level of concerns for humanity that nobody ever heard of before. Because after all, This is what it is that I look at. But that is the essence of what the egel is, as we spoke about today. The nature of the egel and where the egel comes from, Chazal trace back to Kviyas Teva, to the Mokar at Gan Eden, of the Lo Yisbo Shoshu. Lo Yisbo Shoshu means entitlement. I have nothing to be bosh for. What it is that I have, that's a given. I understand. We don't have to worry about givens. Now the question is, do I have everything that I want? That's something else. That allows me to form egels. That allows me to form new ways of looking at reality. It allows me to do whatever the heck that I want. But the last thing that allows me to do is feel that I, in any way, am vulnerable. I'm certainly not vulnerable. This is the world as it is, as a given. The nature of the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael demands being zeicha to the Yerusha.
Yeah, it's the second you know
that
someone is not allowing.
Come on. It's being. Fine, I'm muted. So what that means is that when he is coming, Pinchas, and is developing a relationship to an identity that has to do with nefesh, then it means that he's coming to be misaking the entire Metzias of Bilam. And that means that the reason that the two words are so deeply connected, Yerusha and Horasha, so that we actually find Vahorashtem it, Vyarashtem. It's Vahorashtem, Vyarashtem. Because the Yerusha to us is only in taking over. It's a completely different type of Yerusha, such as Teretz Yivalanu Meshem, Morashaki Las Yaakov. What does that mean? On the other hand, it says, how come Tamir Chachamim don't have children on Tamir Chachamim? Because Shelo Yimru Torah Shalom Yerusha. I thought it says Morashaki Las Yaakov. So, I mean, the idea over there is, as Chazal defined, is that Kol HaRotze Lavo Yavo V'Yitol. It only means that it's yours to be able to be Zochetu, but it doesn't mean that it's yours without your being Zochetu. And that means that our relationship to the world overall is a relationship of concern, care, and building upon what was already achieved. So what it is that we do for the Ubeis HaElam is all of the karbonis that we bring over here. And as it says in the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us, you bring these karbonis, I will make you be Erech HaShulchan for your La'atzilavai. Why? Ta'arech lefadai shulchan neged sorerai. Sorerai is tzororah samidyanim. Neged sorerai means that the only shulchan that you're zeichetu is the one that is neged sorerai. In the same way that the only Yerusha that you're shayachtu is the one that comes from Horasha. Note that this is true kavayochel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Because the Gemara says that minayin shakadosh baruch hu mispalel, shem aviyasim el beis tefilasi. El beis tefilasam lo nema, el beis tefilasi. Shem aviyasim shakadosh baruch hu has to be mispalel. What does he have to be mispalel for? I'll tell you what he has to be mispalel for. Ami zechorna. By telling us that original step that Pinchas continues, of the Ami Zechorna Maya Atz, the Mandas Tzidkes Hashem. As I explained to you, if you don't understand that, and to you it appears that the world is essentially, yes, I understand, it's an awful place in terms of its potential, and we live over an abyss, but it's an abyss that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spares for us, right? God's a good guy in the end. You know, he wants us to be happy. He'll take good care of us. That's not what it says. It says that in actuality, if you want to know how much I care, it's the fact that Bilam didn't destroy you all. What'd you do? I didn't get angry. Ah, come on. I mean, why would you get angry? We're such nice people. I mean, that's ridiculous. Of course you didn't get angry. I mean, isn't that the whole point? You created us in order that we should make it and we shouldn't get angry. Ah, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the whole problem. No, not right. You better help me daven about this because, boy, I'm starting to feel angry. In other words, the union of Laman Das Tzidkes Hashem means that it requires an absolute ongoing commitment, an act of will to be able to span the chaos of Bilam. And that the reality of the Bria was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had communication with such people, had a desire of things that could be shared only with such people, and that it requires a tefillah. Yishmo b'ni borcheni requires brocha. Help me, because this is tough for me. Because in doing all of this to make myself part that same identity that you people constantly screw up and come back to me for is difficult. There's lots of other ways to run a world. And just as many amazing things that it can end up showing in the short term, but if you guys aren't in for the long term, what's the difference? If it's all a question of Rega and it's all a question of Kerry, which is what we're involved here in that Brit that comes to Erechim, so what's the difference? I need help. That's the point. I'm Amish. That's the Ami Zechorna. That's the tefillah. So that as long as there's any sense bichlal of entitlement, the thing that twists entitlement immediately into the Churban HaBayis is what? Think about it. We start by taking off the Adoyim and Shivasa B'Tamas. We take off those Adoyim as the only time that we find that all of Klal Yisrael knows exactly what needs to be done as a result of chet. What needed to be done? Take off the yadayim. Why? Because we're embarrassed. Why? Because we recognize that the only thing that led to this situation in which we could actually believe that it's okay to make up your own fashion of life is entitlement. So you were given these adayim. You think you're given these adayim because that's what you are? You're given life because that's what you deserve? You were given creation because in order to be what you are, I need to create you? And therefore, it's a given that you will live? Adam, huh? So now comes your way the possibility of expanding your Bechira. So now, who's going to decide? You will, of course. You will. What do I have to be embarrassed about? What is it that I have to feel vulnerable about? Nothing. So in taking off those adoyim, you survive the ego. What is the first thing that destroys that survival? Crying for nothing. Because crying for nothing is only one choice, one explanation. Pure entitlement. I believe that I should have this. And since I'm not comfortable with what I have, so because of that, I'm miserable. What? I'm sorry? Yeah, yes, that's the point. Yeah. So the idea of Bechia Shel Chinam is the ultimate expression of Shivas Betamas. You go from Shivas Betamas to Tisha B'Av from step by step. You started to survive through the Adoyim, and you end up by essentially doing worse. It comes out the two are mamish interrelated. So Tisha B'Av takes place when Bechia Shel Chinam destroys the Horadas HaAdayim. Now you're back to, as the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, now you're Achein Ke'adam Temutun. Why are you Achein Ke'adam Temutun? Because you're Kvuyei Tova B'nei Kvuyei Tova. What's the marker of Kvuyei Tova? Entitlement. Understand? Obviously, I'm owed a rose garden. I understand. What should I be Makir Teva for? So the step-by-step understanding of what Bilam achieved, that's the first level in Abi Zichorna. But the second level is Pinchas El Abochim, because it's a much more difficult thing to do. Because you mistake your own identity as something that for sure is mine. So when I'm sitting there not clear about what it means to be me, and I'm boich at the inability to distinguish between Yisrael v'amim in terms of making a bris, take a look. What we essentially learn when we learn Maidani lefanelcha shesamta chokenu miyashvei beit hamidrash v'lo samta chokenu miyashvei kranot. Who says that? Sha'an heimashkimi, ono mashkimi veheimashkimi, vaniftach bach, anshe domu mumirma. What does that have to do with it? It's like a whole mishmash of things. It has everything to do with it. You think that it's a given that you, oh, it's wonderful, of course, I sit in the base of Medrash, that's what my life is for. You know what it takes for a person to be able to be Yoshvei, be in the base of Medrash, and not be Yoshvei Kronos? What? Oh, so that'd be Marsik Tevel Atzmecha, obviously. This is what was given to Adam Rishon, existential conceit.
Oh, and Kolam and Yeshua, the people that need to be prayed for, or have to pray for themselves.
Okay.
Like Kol Yeshua, or you want to be Mishnah.
Yeah. Don't take it. Yeah, absolutely. And in a very deep way, also. I recognize how incredibly vulnerable I am to the impact of this kind of thing. We really think that we're not vulnerable at all. You cannot imagine. Amesi to Mediach. The power that Hasata has for a person, the power that Lashon Hara has over a person, the way that it completely warps your mind. This is what was going on at the Meraglim. The essence of the meaning of information in the Eilam, and how that information is so much more powerful than my ability to deal with it because of the fact that it extends across time. You take a look just even at the simplest things of the political, what's considered non-political correctness. What does it take for a person to battle political correctness? Which is a tiny, tiny piece of the powers of the inyanim of these kind of issues of Lashon Hara. It's so powerful that it's come out impossible for anyone to think. All they can say, this is a given when there's nothing to talk about. What do you mean it's a given? It's insanity. What given? We've heard of such things. What do you mean? This is the way it is. You know? It's not even possible to discuss because it's such a given. Halachas kama v'kama, when you're talking about a concerted effort to define the nature of reality in such a way that should be eker the Ratzon Hashem, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu kama v'yachol is dealing with. Halachas kama v'kama, the pain of dealing with such a thing that we think is a joke, that I should have to be mispallel that koyosh yachol b'atis barangol, as if, well, why not? I know better. Amazing. And when you look around, you see, you think that it's something that doesn't happen around you. It happens around you all the time. That's swaths of Klal Yisrael believe absolute insanity. Only because it's politically correct. Maybe religiously politically correct. Makes no difference. It's the same absolute Havolim, which is the opposite of what it is that Shivasa B'Talmas calls for. It's the only way to be Mizgaber for Shivasa B'Talmas is giving up the willingness to create Agolis. And giving up the right to create Agolis is a willingness to be vulnerable and to recognize that there are no entitlement. The shitas that you have are not entitlement. Just because everybody believes it doesn't mean a darn thing. And that, as a matter of fact, as the Rambam says, the reason that we're in this mess is because we believe that. The whole point of the Arba Tanyas is to be able to recognize that that's the reason we're in the mess. So that's the first step, is getting rid of it. It's about not shaykh. Even though you read the Halach and the Rambam, and you'll still come out saying, oh, Baruch Hashem, I do that. So the nature of the ego, which is going direct, the first ego, always, is going according to the path of your easiest beliefs. That's what it is. Religious beliefs, entirely ego. That's what it is from beginning to end. Going down to a kaiso, believing kissing the kaiso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, atayori min amigdash, atayori min, it's like the Shabbos, right? No, I'm just giving covet, and so on and so forth. The unbelievable pressure of the belief in entitlements, so that I should feel good in the world, and I should be able to follow the way I like to feel about myself, and I know if I'm doing this, I'm feeling good about myself, and to be able to look at yourself and to feel the bottom falling out of your stomach, and that you're living in absolute hell, and that you don't know what you're doing, and that everything you're doing is the opposite of what's supposed to be doing. It's all. Well, what did Yitzchak Avinu feel at that one moment? That Yitzchak Avinu, that Gehenim was niftach mitachtav, was a greater pacha than being on the Akedah and losing his life and being told that he has no right to live. That's nothing compared to that one instant of the, oh my God. You don't understand that that's the Ami Zechorna? So it's not much pacha pechonim. Really? What? Beyond that was a relatively minor issue. So that means that the achievement of Pinchas in terms of nefesh is the reason that his nefesh becomes now on a different darga, in which it, indeed his whole identity is a transcendent identity. So it's a person who's no longer dependent on time and space, but has his entire vision as being a Malach HaBris. That's what it's all about to him. There is nothing else. And the fact that that has to occur over millennia, it's fine with me. And that I will be involved in every last step of the way, and that I will be the one that will do my best to announce that Geula, that's all innate in what it is that he achieves, and therefore it's innate in the achievement of Yisrael in the first stages of Knesset La'aretz on that basis. And that's why he's the one that's got to go in there and fight, and that's why he's the one that when he goes in there for what happens in the next week's parsha in terms of B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvein, where he's the one who makes the determination whether B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvein are in fact doing the right thing or the wrong thing by building that Mizbeach, and it's Fayitav Be'enav. Yes, it makes sense. Why? Because of the future. Because of children that will live in the future who will not understand the past and who will not understand what we're doing here. And there won't be some who will be Meshi Levav Asabonim. So what's going to be the remez? The Mizbeach. What the heck does the Mizbeach have to do with anything? Nothing except that because Hashem Tzurei Lomim starts at the Mizmeah in terms of the Mokum of Brias Adam. You want to know what we're involved in? We're involved in the same things you guys are. So just remember that. We don't bring Karbonis. We're crazy. We're a bunch of primitives. Karbonis are the Mokum on Mikdash. What, you thought we were building Mizmeah to bring Karbonis on? Please. Oh, whew. Now that's a different story, says Pinchas. 100,000 soldiers. okay, boys, back home. We can let them live. And they'll tear them into pieces. It's amazing, just amazing kind of people. So then if you take a look at the Gedorim of Erechin, it's so profoundly connected because that's the idea of the Erech HaNefashos that we were talking about. The darga of a human being where he does not measure himself even to himself in terms of domim. It's not in terms of domim. It's not in terms of my current position in the Olam Hazeh and the absurdity of like what it is that I happen to be at this point in my short life, and which is there all of another couple of years that I'll have whatever it is that I think I have. And completely meaningless and nonsensical. And then this is the way I'm going to measure myself, this is the way I'm going to measure my worth, and so on and so forth. It doesn't work like that. And this is the lotion of the chinuch of in the mitzvah of Arachin, sha'adam lo yishtatev be'elyonim, other than through his sense of dibur, which is essentially expressed in Erechin, doesn't even explain himself why that's true. As if all inyonim of nidrei hekdesh and adorim are built on this first sense of Erechin. Why? Because it's the first time that I see myself as a unit in the Bria, instead of as a local phenomena. A local phenomena has domim, but it's only daimim. In the same way that Mishpachat HaChanoch is only Doimet to Mishpachat HaChanochi. This is me. It's completely something that's totally different. And that's why the Shach says over here in this Parsha that this the entire story of Bedos Slavchad should be the Yisrael Chukat Mishpat. Why the Yisrael Chukat Mishpat, says the Shach? Because they're the only ones who have a concept of Nefesh. So they're the ones that can understand Yerusha. Nobody understands Yerusha. They think it's some kind of absurd, you know, silly kind of thing. What are you going to do with the money that a parent leaves over when he dies, you know? Oh, well, either the state could steal it or he could do something fair about it, give it to the kids. Exactly what it is. It's felt as entitlement. That's exactly what it is. So who are we going to give the dinim of Chukas Mishpat of Yerusha to? Only to Yisrael. Because they know about Gilgal. They know what the fascists mean. They know about Yibum. They know about Soda Yibur. They understand that things are not exactly what they look like. And therefore, the concept of Yerusha Midor Dor, or battles Midor Dor, whether it's Amalek Midor Dor, whether it's Dor Dor Vidorsha, and the understanding of what it is to be an Ummah that thinks only in terms of Dor Dor. They think in terms of deep time. It's a completely different way of looking at life. And that's the only reason that Klal Yisrael can live through the things that it lives through, is because they simply think in different ways. That difference between the expressions of Shemitah and Yovel in the context of life as it currently is, that's Bahar. Those things actually penetrate the marketplace. Lo tonu ish et achiv, in terms of Shemitah and Yovel. The fact that you'll get it back, have an opportunity to start over again. That's great things, but doesn't touch the union of nefesh. It's only the dargas of Keri, Mikra, and the seven madregas in Telechim he Keri, the development of Bechukosai, which recognizes that all of those in Yonu, that Bilam had been so machnes into the world, which is the Vayikar, which is the whole basis of Vayikra and the beginning of Vayikra. Remember, the Vayikar versus the Vayikra. It's only when those dargas are explored, the Sheva Pa'amim, in which for the first time we start talking about a nefesh, that people can understand that if it comes to dealing really with nefesh, that's kachim. When you deal with the nefesh in terms of kachim, then you have to think in terms of erechim. You have to think in terms of steachuza. You can no longer think in terms of domim. And because of this, he is considered to be purely in terms of nefesh. And in a sense, that's what the sefer is. The Midbar is the sefer of nefesh. It's the first time that we saw, the only time, it was a shock to us in the Torah, when we get to Nasai to discover that the nature of consciousness of a thing is more important than the actual thing itself. That's a crazy. That the Torah should repeat the Yud Beis Nisiyim, right? That's the first like shocking inyan. That what it is that you're thinking and what lies behind what you're thinking, nobody is a prisoner here above. Thank you very much for the saver. Kultov, kultov. Pleasure. Should I invite you next year for Zecher?
Is that a question? Or
Should hope. I don't have to just went through 3 hours of sitting. I'm not sure. Right, so these elements of the stress, nefashas, that becomes the multiple identity of Pirkas and Eliyahu, and it's stressed over here in the Gula itself, and through Bichlal, all of the inyanim that appear over here, the nefesh gavoha, the inyanim of Bilam, the way that he deals with the concepts of the nefesh, and for the first time, the introduction of tumas and nefesh of Adam in terms of tumas meis, which for some reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu refused to discuss earlier because there was no real commitment to the idea of nefesh. That is lemaisa, the yud and the hey. If you take a look at the issues that are common here, between the Masechet that we finished, between Erech and between the Yanim of Pinchas, you see that the concepts are so interrelated because the ideas over here in Pinchas are kulay in terms of Yerushas Haaretz, which is essentially becomes Steachuza, Yichus, Musafim. Those same thing become in Erech and higher order questions. The Musafim are there in terms of what? Music. So the only days, the only Yud Beis Yomim are days that have Musafim, that are unique Musafim. So then we have new music. Now that's a totally different darga of the same thing, but it's the darga of Nefesh of that thing, correct? The Steyachuza, the sense of Nachal, as opposed Stam to the general Yerusha Saretz. It's tremendous. All the crazy stuff that we have over here in Erechid, we have the actual Soda Yibur that we're talking about. How many months can you have that are full? How many months can there? What does that have to do with that over here? The relationship that has to Pischei Nida and all of the difference between the standard flow of history, unique flow of history. These are the inyanim that appear over here as well. So we have the same concept that's stressed throughout our different levels of reality. This the Rabbeinu Bachya puts out. He says, look, if you take a look at it, you see that throughout over here, we talk about two levels. We have Shnei L'Sheinus, Yaakov Yisrael. We have the Inyanim of Yaakov being Roi Mizl Guf, Yisrael being Roi Mizl Nefesh. We have Yotzer, and we have Borei, Yotzer Or, Vorei Choshech. We have the Nefesh, and we have the Inyanim of the Guf. We have the idea of the Tchia at the end, and the Oragonos, and we have the normal life that we have now. All of those things are essentially there so that ultimately she is saper b'shvachad she Yisrael u'malatan ha'gedola mitzad reshitam v'achritam she yinchalu kol ha'olam hazeh she yizku l'tchiyat ha'misim l'chayi olam ha'bo she'achat chiyat son and so forth. So what we're trying to do is to integrate two completely different levels of realities, which in terms of Bilam was the essential new vision of what Malchus Mashiach consists of. Because again, what we think is that the primitive period, which I call the classical period on Shabbos, in a sense, this is a classical period. All of the most basic emotions and the most basic forms, whether this is true in terms of biology, literally in terms of the Cambrian explosion, is a kind of weird classic experience, which every different type of possible way of looking at things was expressed briefly. This is the same thing that happens in every classical blossoming. And then there's a settling down, so to speak, in which you use those initial forms in a very deep way. So all of those ideas, Bichlal, is the nature of David HaMelech, who is the lower level Mashiach, not the higher level Mashiach. There's the same two dargas that we have in terms of Nefesh V'Guf. We have David HaMelech is the one who's the Ish Domim. That's what he's called. Yishdomim ata. That is not the level of Mashiach, which comes dafka from the relationship to Pinchas and to Eliyahu for that same reason. But nonetheless, it means that the chibur of the two has to be seen as a actual continuum of development in the nature of what it is to be Israel from beginning to end. And it doesn't mean that something new comes out in the end. It means that something old comes out in the new. There's a completely different way of looking at it. So therefore, Mashiach will come along and will be Mahzir the Malchus Beis David leMemshala HaRishona. How is that? That's childish. What do you mean, Memshala HaRishona? What did they have? They didn't have any nuclear weapons. There were no laser beams. What kind of Memshala is that? That's child's play. But the point is the classic understanding and emotions that went into that raw, boy, was it raw. I mean, those stories are raw stories. Raw, never in the simple meaning of raw, but they're very raw stories. All of the interrelationship of human emotions of every different type. So it's raw, whether it's in terms of the relationship of Boaz and Ruth and Naomi and Yonatan and David and Shaul and the Shmuel's pain and so on. These are raw things. They're love affairs. They're bitter affairs. They're murder. They're all of the elements of life that go into building the jealousies, the competitions, and what is involved in ultimately reaching the darga that he's searching for over here at Briti Shalom. You think that that is we leave behind us? You think that that is something that we incorporate because of the fullness of those childish days? And we'll look back as being childish, but look back at it as we look at childhood. It's not enough, but be awful without it. And that's basically what this is all about here as well. So that we may live in a reflection of Moshe v'Yoshua being on those two dargas, the same way the Shnei Amorot HaGdolim are on those two dargas. The same way Moshe Rabbeinu is a Shemesh and Yoshua is a reflection. We live with reflections very often. But in ultimately learning how to go through Yerusha with that type of identity, then we end up with getting back to Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et Adam with the two yuds. Two Yetziras, being the Saki Mekina and Maaseh Bereishis, Eser Shalom B'Mereimav, the two Dargas of Adam, which are Nogea every single person, but which ultimately are Nogea the entire history of human evolution. So that in the end, that Vayitzer Adam becomes Adam Aten. And as you get closer to being truly human, you become closer and closer to having zero entitlement. And as you have zero entitlement, you become more and more alive to existence, because then it's what it is. It's not what you turned it into. So then you can have fun, but that's real fun. That's enjoyment, because it's alive. So I just want to close by mentioning some 2 minutes of words about my father, Zichrono Livracha. One of the most stunning, unique elements of his personality was his relationship to entitlement. He had no entitlement. It was an amazing thing to see. You don't meet people that don't start from entitlement. You simply don't meet it. And this is such an unusual personality that it was inconceivable for him to be amen on what it would mean to be entitled to something. So whether it was in terms of a piece of dress, or whether it was in terms of a piece of food, or whether it's in terms of happiness in his life, or whether it's in terms of COVID, that would be given to him, or whether it's in terms of someone who would be able to understand his Torah, no entitlement. Just the way it is. And you live as a human being who does and invests and keeps on going and can only blame himself for any investments not made, not for the ones that aren't successful. And that's an incredible darga. Mamash, incredible darga that had in it a tremendous amount of tznius. That's the because that entitlement is Nagei Elohim Bashasho. Tremendous amount of actual tznius, physical tznius. Just not imposing anywhere, not asking for anything anywhere, but also a tremendous amount of being able to not read in your thoughts into a sugya. So the Keach HaTera was Mavhil. It's Poshut Mavhil. Because everyone else that approaches a sugya has got something they're trying to say. And his entire idea was the most incredible thing to learn from him. The most powerful idea is that only say what it's forcing you to say. Don't ever say anything else, because then it's wrong. Mm-hmm. Is this what it's absolutely necessary to say? Fine. Then that's what it's saying. It makes no sense? Who cares? That's what it's saying. Now figure out why it does make sense. Is that dependent on you first deciding it makes sense and then saying that's what it says? And that difference spells all the difference in the world. You would learn a Rambam with him. It was like learning the Rambam. It's like you were learning with the Rambam, literally, because there was nothing that the Rambam wrote that wasn't absolutely clear. This is what he's saying. And the shock that he would have at the insanity of the kind of things that people would say and the learning where they would say literally over and over the exact opposite of what the Rambam is trying to say. This must be what the Rambam is trying to say. The frustration. He couldn't imagine. How is it possible, such a thing? Where does it come from? Because he couldn't imagine non-entitlement. Anything but non-entitlement. The moment that somebody is entitled, they can't think anymore. That's exactly the point. So the creation of an ego is the creation of all the nonsense around us. And because of that, it's the creation of all the evil around us. All the evil. There's no such thing as good alternative realities. That's the amazing thing. They're never good. They may have something good about them, but the end result is that they stink. And what it is that Bilam ends up destroying, or what is it the insane Americans end up destroying? All the greatest ideas. It's always Isha Yasha Benam Yasa. But the ugliness that comes of it is so shocking in the end. The impact that it has on the ability of a human mind to function and to focus and to be able to hear and to be part of a world is so devastating that it spells the end of a civilization. It's not a small issue. Literally the end of a civilization. So the Ami Zichorna coupled with this idea of Adam Atem and to understand what it means to have that abyss, be willing to face the abyss that opens beneath you. That's an amazing darga, and it should be an aliyah, nishmase. We're able to finish this mesechet. Alavai, we should be zeichet to be able to learn again another mesechet of Tzvorim, Acherim, Lasaima, and Ezrat Hashem to once again one day finish Erechim.